Blog Talk Radio.
Now that I'm a parent,
with children, and then those who are coming into that phase of their life where they are starting families, having children. So this is not, eventually, I would like for this to be to cover many different subjects in that area, but right now we're doing an overview. You know, we understand that as a people, we're in trouble, so our children are in trouble. And when we go and we look into the world, we see them into everything. So we want to look at this from the Father's eyes. You know, we know what the world says, but we want to look at this from the Father's eyes as far as what he expects from us as children, as parents. So I think that this session or session, depends upon how long it goes, would be helpful for us all. And that it will give us some structure inside the family as to, you know, what we as adults should be following and teaching as, you know, as a foundation to our children, what we should be passing to our children that are grown if they come to us for advice. As I said, it doesn't cover everything yet, but, you know, I want this to actually cover specifically those things that would be required of a parent and that they can give to also to, you know, use it as a guide for their children and to those for their children who are grown and starting, they can give it to them as a guide as well. All right. So let us do our statement of faith, and then we will pray again and pursue this. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name, Father. We thank you for keeping us through the week, Father, and allowing us to praise your holy name. Hallelujah. We can give you all praise and glory and honor to you, Father, this morning. And we ask that you to be with us as we go forth this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let us go to the book of, for this morning, let us pray in first. Have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to open everybody's phone, but I want you to mute yourself on your end And if you have something you want to add, question you have, I want you to press the number 1 on your phone. So mute yourself on your end. If you have something that you want to say, you want to add, press the number 1. Today's subject matter is the wellness of the children. If nothing else, through this series and, you know, spiritual wellness in us as a people, and really this is, you know, when we look at it, this could be all races, but we're dealing specifically with the troubles and the trials of Israel, the Hebrew Israelite. We want to make sure that we set a firm foundation for the next generation. If Yah tarries and he doesn't come back, we still have another generation of children to raise. And we want to start producing a crop that is suitable to the Most High. We're all bruised, and we have to be fixed. But when we start with the children, with the infants, 1, 2 years old, when we start with that crop coming in, then we will raise up a generation to the Most High that won't be have the ills that we have. You know, we suffer from some things, and there's many things that we have to get over. But we definitely have to start with the next crop, and we'll deal with ourselves. But we want this foundation in place from the very beginning, the children. So that we can start working on them, and then as parents ourselves or grandparents, then we can also use this as a guide for the grandchildren. You know, sometimes, you know, I know my children, my son and his child, you know, he's got his own mind of how he wants to raise them. Nevertheless, he can't overrule me. So if when my grandchild is around me, then these are the virtues that I will put into him. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. We're looking at number 1, and this is specifically to the parents. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. When we as parents don't keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High always, that is what we will pass to our children. It's just plain and simple. We have to be the example. We have to set the example. We can't be double-minded. We can't be hypocritical. We can't say one thing and do another. So the Most High said his will is that this heart was in us, the parents, that we would fear him and keep all his commandments always, and that it might be well with us and with our children forever. So it starts with us, and each, you know, generation, grandparents, parents, child, as it goes forth, this has to be the fear of the Most High and to keep all his commandments. Anything less than that, we will be passing mixed instruction to the children, and it'll be confusing. Go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet of the nation. Now, the Most High, he knows each and every one of us before we were formed in the womb. He knows when we were going to be born and to whom we were going to be born to. He doesn't interfere in our lives that way unless he has chosen us for a specific purpose. Everybody's not chosen to what I call to be a star, a sign, a timepiece of the Most High, or a mouthpiece for the Most High. But he still knows us all. And we need to also transmit this to our children. That the Most High knows them before they came into the womb. He knows who they were going to be born to. And they may be chosen of him to do a work. They have to be open to that. Yah may choose me to do a work. We need to introduce the Most High into their lives as soon as possible and give them these values and more. We're going to go over those. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Psalms 127 and verse 3. Because, you know, we're caught up in this world, and we may be taught that, you know, we need to get up in the world. And to get up in the world, we need an education. We need, you know, this, that, and the other. Whatever, you know, we're chasing. We want to be educated. We want to be knowledgeable. We want to be wise. But we have to also understand that in order for a people to come about, you know, we are caught up in this frame of mind that, oh, we could have one child or two children. But children, the scripture says, Psalms 127 and 3, though children are an heritage of Yah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So having a lot of children and raising them to fear Elohim, to walk in his way, this is a blessing. This is a way that a woman and a man bless the Most High. His first commandment in Genesis was be fruitful and multiply. And so we got to understand that to have large families and to raise them in the fear of the Most High is to help to build his nation and his kingdom. When we start having small families, what tends to happen is we don't grow as a people. We don't multiply. We're not fulfilling one of the first commandments. We're too worried about, you know, are we going to be able to have this big house? Or are we going to be able to have this standard of living? The Most High, I am convinced, if the patriarchs could have all those children, and they were some of the richest men in the world, in Israel at least, the Most High will make it happen. If you are walking according to his ways, he will bless you, and it won't be a problem. If we are building communities the way we're supposed to be building communities, and we're looking out one for another, it won't be a problem. Okay? But children are a heritage to Yah, and they're his reward. And so we have to understand that. If we're being obedient to him, then we are raising children to him. Let's go to Psalms 139. The book of Psalms 139. We're going to get verse 13. Psalms 139 and verse 13. Now, we got to understand that every child that goes into the womb, they are a blessing and they are a wonder. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. We have to teach our children that they are special, that they are marvelously made. You know, to make a child, and, you know, even if they come out and they have some deformity, they're still special. And so this has to be imparted to every child. You know, we don't want to have children that feel like they're not wanted, that they were a mistake. They shouldn't be here. You know, when we have gone through some stuff and maybe we are not centered we're not well ourselves, and we're making children. We're bringing some things from our childhood because we were abused or whatever the case may be. We may pass this on to the children, and we need to, no matter what, when you were born conceived, you didn't ask to be conceived. And the child that you have is not asking to be conceived. Then we shouldn't make them feel like they are something less than. Under any circumstances, it's never, you know, we had no choice in coming here. We had no choice in picking our parents. And so we want to teach each generation. First, we want to teach them, hey, don't be doing this unless you are married. So we have to put those right values in them. Let's not stop producing children out of wedlock. And we shouldn't be sleeping with anybody that we're not married to. That way we don't have children and have a need to go get an abortion because we got pregnant out of wedlock and we're not ready for children. That comes from bad behavior from the very beginning. On the individual, the two individuals who are getting together, the man and the woman both. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Ladies, you're not married. Lock it down. Keep your legs closed. I don't care what he tells you. I don't care how much love he professes for you. You're not married. The Most High says, don't do it. And so we have to be very clear about these things and pass these things on to the next generation. Start, but we got to pass it on. You know, we got to start this type of behavior. We got to stop it now. You have to commit to the Most High and stop this aberrant behavior before the Most High. So if you're not married, your daughter's not married, don't let the world teach them, hey, you get a certain age, whenever you're ready to have sex, you have sex. No, that is not the way of the Most High Elohim. And we can't say we belong to him and we follow the ways of the world. And I know that their influence, you know, you're not going to be the only influence in their life. So, you know, the TV, relatives, friends, all these inputs, and our own bodies. You know, there's a time when your body is ready. That's just a natural, that is natural. And we have to teach them that these things are natural. But, however, we also have to teach them that they can't act on them. As the parents, we have to teach that. And then sometimes we run into, you know, it is the way it is right now, but we run into, they look back at our lives. Well, you didn't wait. And, you know, you have to tell them, well, I didn't know any better, or it's not the way I was taught, but I'm teaching you the good way. Because, you know, our kids will call us, you know, they may not do it directly at first. And trust, every child goes back and looked at their parents' life. And you said this, and you said that. But this is what I see happen. This is what so-and-so said, or Uncle so-and-so said, or Grandma said. We got to understand, because we came out of corruptness, we're going to, you know, our testimony may not match what we're teaching. Our lives may not match what we're teaching. But we got to teach them that we're doing this to do better, and we want them to be better. We want them to be closer to the Most High. That is not hypocritical. Had we been taught this way, then we would have had these same values at that time. However, we weren't taught this way. So it's not hypocritical. When you know to do better, you ought to do better. We want this next generation to be better than we were, especially in regards to the Most High. So we want to teach them that. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously worked or wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Then thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which is continuance. which in continues were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. So before you were formed in the womb, the Most High knew you. He knows your child. He already knows how many children each of us was going to have. He doesn't influence it unless it's for his will, for his purpose. He doesn't make us do anything. So we are to pass these values to our children so that they come up in the right way. Let's go to the book of 3 John. The book of 3 John. And understand, this is just an overview. We want to, you know, eventually I want to go in and add different topics, you know, concerning sex, concerning marriage, concerning the different things that values that a child should know. But the parent has to know them as well in order to be able to pass them on. Can't pass on anything that we don't know ourselves or not practice. The book of 3 John, chapter 4, or verse 4. Because as a parent, this should be true with us. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No parent, if we are calling ourselves the children of the Most High and we're walking in truth, there's no greater joy than to hear that our children are walking in truth. How can they walk in truth if we don't impart it to them, that they walk in the same truth? So there's a responsibility for us to learn the truth and to impart it to our children that they might walk in it. One of the things that, you know, and can anybody tell me, am I being heard okay? Can somebody tell me, am I being heard okay? If you can, just open up your mic and say yes or hello. All right, thank you.
We can hear you now. Peace and blessings.
All right. I think that one of the things that the men today are missing, because the society teaches us overall that men are weak, that we don't really matter. And I think that goes a long ways toward producing, for lack of a better word, retarded men. Our growth is retarded. It means that it is hampered. That doesn't mean that we are, you know, we're not capable of thinking. We're just not fully matured or grown the way that we're supposed to be. But a lot of that also is the way that we're looked at in society, that we're taught in this society. I can't speak worldly. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 6. Because the men need to understand this so that we take our correct position. Children's children are the crown of all men. When a father has children and his children have children, that is his crown. That he can see the next, he passed on the next generation, but now he can see the generation after that. And if they are being taught the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, if they're being taught to fear the Most High, to walk in his ways, if they're being trained up the right way, then John 3 and 4 will be very true for us. Have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. My children and my children's children, that this value, these values are being passed from generation to generation. And the glory of the children are their father. See, we don't esteem, we have not been esteeming the men in this position. This country, this environment, this generation has really been portraying men as being weak, having no morals, and for a lot of it is true, okay? I'm not trying to discard where we are at. I'm just saying that the women have to learn to also teach the children this, that they are their father's crown. They're the glory of their father. The fathers have to be get into the right place. No ifs, ands, and buts. And this is never, ever, because, you know, if you know me, I'm going to blame the man for everything. Because the man is supposed to be the head. And if you're the head, then you are ultimately responsible. And the blame goes on you, even for your wife. You are the head. And the buck stops at the head. That is going to always be my premise. Okay? So when a man is not doing what he's supposed to do, or if the family's going awry and it's not, you know, functioning the way it ought to function, in the end, the responsibility is the man. The woman has played more than an equal part in that, because women usually do the raising, but the direction of the family, how the family functions, whether they worship and praise the Most High, whether they walk in His ways, I put that on the father, on the man in the house. He's ultimately responsible, period. So if things aren't going right, or if he doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the experience, then it's up to him to gain that knowledge and to gain that experience, to have somebody he can go to, should be his father or his father's father, some man in his life. But if not, then he should be able to come to, truthfully, to the pastor, to the elder. We are so broken that our support chains don't really exist. And all of that has to be, we are, you know, it says it takes a tribe to raise a child. This is true. It takes a village. But if we are so separated, if we are so disjointed, then when we have a broken family, or we have a mother that slipped and she had a child out of wedlock, and she doesn't have help raising her children, if she is, you know, repentant and trying to do the right thing, then the village should help her. But these things should not be encouraged. Trust me that. Right now, girl gets pregnant, comes into the body, you know, people congratulating her and all this kind of stuff, and she's not married. That stuff really needs to be shunned. But we don't just kick them out, but we have to make it known that, you know, hey, that behavior really is not acceptable. We don't want to encourage other young women to be doing that. We don't want to encourage our young men to be doing that. So we are broken, and we know we are broken. We're broken all the way around. But we have to start, we want to start with the children, so that's where we're at. And then we will work our way through, you know, the generations to ourselves, that we might heal, that we can help people, especially help those of us that are broken. But we can't do it if we ourselves are. Few scriptures on what the Most High says, how we should raise our children. Okay, as I said, this is an overview. This is not a catch-all. This is not a, you know, cover every situation type of precept. It will take a precept probably for each situation. But we want to look at this, as I said, through the Father's eyes. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22. The book of Proverbs, chapter 22. And let's get verse 6. Proverbs, chapter 22, and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The scriptures are, you know, the Bible is really clear. The Father's really clear. Train up your children in the way that they should go. We're going to look at some of those overall ways, some things that I believe that are basic and fundamental to our belief, to the way that, you know, that if we do these things, the in-between, the details will fall in. First, we got to train them up in the way that they should go. And they'll keep that because if you train them from a child, if you train them from when they can first start hearing and understanding, and they are hearing these things, they're hearing the conversation, you know, because children learn from other children best, but they also listen and hear us. And if we are, as I said, if we're contradicting, if we're saying one thing and doing another, it's confusion, okay? So from the very start, we want to train them up in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. It'll be part of their core values. And the core values are the values that you learn that something drastic in your life has to happen to change them. There are certain things, certain doctrines that we've been taught since we were children. Even when we learn they're wrong, it's hard to let them go. Why? Because it's part of our core values and part of, as we understand, our being. This is part of my makeup. And for somebody to tell me that that is wrong, it's hard to let it go. That's how deep-seated core values are within us. And so we have to put the correct core values in our children from the very beginning. We don't want them to be bad. We don't want them to be lies. We want it to be the truth. So we got to put the correct core values in them from the beginning. And when they are older, they will not depart from them because it's part of them. When everything is said and done, if they get, you know, a wild hair up there behind, and they go off into the world doing something they ought not do, this will pull them back. And trust me, it will convict them. I know I wasn't supposed to be doing that. But if we, I really believe if we teach them correctly, if we teach them correctly and to have the correct fear of the Most High, very few of them will run off like that. Right now, every man, every woman, every child is doing what's right in their own eyes. So that's what they're being taught. Do what's right in your own eyes. Do what makes you happy. That is not going to put them in a good position with the Most High. And it's going to cause them to do some things that later on when they try to come back to the Most High, I messed up. And so we want to give them a chance not to have to be in that situation. Can't control and make anybody do anything. But if we train them up the right way, with the right values, with the right fear of the Most High, then the chances of them running off the rails and going out into the world and doing something they ought not do will be a lot less. Are there always going to be some? Yes. There always have been. But we need to put this firm foundation up under them. Train them up in the way that they should go from the very beginning. That means that we as parents, grandparents, we have to know that way. And we have to be doing that. We can't be doing otherwise. Okay, I'm going to keep drumming that into us. If you don't know, then you have to learn yourself. I don't care how old you are. Can't say, can't teach an old dog new tricks. These old dogs need to learn new tricks. We need to learn the truth and walk in it. We need to learn the correct fear of the Most High so that we can transmit it to our grandchildren if we didn't transmit it to our own children. I pray we can hear this. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. The book of Philippians, chapter 1. Because, and we got somebody, your mic is unmuted. People can hear what's going on your back end. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Yeshua HaMashiach, until he returns. We got to know that and be confident in this thing. We have to walk and be not walk in doubt. not walk in doubt of the Most High, not walk in doubt of his statutes, laws, and commandments, not be conflicted because the world says this, but the word says this. You got to be committed to this word and be confident in it, and that it's going to be performed. Many times we have, you know, being in the world, doctors will say this, psychologists will say this, whoever will say whatever, but if it conflicts with the word of the Most High, you have to always go with the word of the Most High. Period. You know, some of us don't believe in corporal punishment because maybe we got a extension cord taken to us, or a switch, or a belt, or a shoe, or a clothing when we were bad, okay? And so we grew up, we don't really believe in corporal punishment. We believe that we should be able to discipline a kid without that. And that's true for some of us. But, you know, every child is not the same. We still have to go with the scriptures. And, yes, I would say that even in those situations, we want to be mindful of how we discipline. But we don't want to spare the rod. But we also have to look at that we're doing it from a position of not anger, that we are not, you know, that we are doing it from love. And in that love that we measure out our punishment, and we don't go get things that will cause permanent damage to a child. That is abuse. Okay. You know, but I'm not opposed to getting a switch. I wouldn't get an extension cord. Those bad boys did not play. I got whipped for one of those ones. I wouldn't go that far. But a switch, and it can't be, well, when we get into that portion of this, okay, when we get into that portion of this, because we're looking at how to raise overall, okay? So when we actually get into that portion, then I'll go into a little bit more detail there. You know, you can't use one form of discipline. And I really want to, let me define two words right now so that we understand. Discipline and punishment. They are two different things. Discipline is designed to correct a behavior. That's what its purpose is to correct a behavior. Punishment is, no, you're being punished, and this is not to correct a behavior. There's two different things. You have gone way overboard, and you know what's right, but you won't do it. So this is a punishment. And more than likely, it's not going to correct the behavior. So you have, when you look at disciplining your children, is to correct the behavior. That is not always corporal punishment. You can't always use the same type of discipline to correct different problems if you're trying to correct the problem. When we look at Adam and Eve, the scripture doesn't say that it's discipline. It doesn't say that it's punishment. We just hear the Most High pronouncing certain actions that are going to happen to the man and to the woman. But when you actually dig into why he told the woman what he told the woman and why he told the man what he told the man, then you understand that he was disciplining them, trying to correct this particular behavior in you. It wasn't to destroy them. So we have to understand that. Okay. So we got to understand that even in Messiah, because we have to teach Messiah to them correctly as well, that the work, that we can have confidence that this thing works. We have confidence that his salvation is true for all of us that have fallen, that we have a way back. Okay, but we also want to teach sin correctly to our children. And we want to teach salvation correctly to our children. We don't want to leave it to the world. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to get verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The commandments of the Most High are supposed to be in our mouths 24/7. And we're supposed to teach them to our children. If we ourselves don't have this in us, we have to start practicing it. The commandments of the Most High. Talk about them when we sit in the house. We're at dinner. You know, we're around the TV. How does that situation relate to the scripture? Even if it's a worldly program. Your conversation should be based around the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High. It's been, you know, we got a lot of drama shows that come on TV. A lot of them we cannot use as, you know, a lot of them right now are passing values to our children, even to us. But you should be looking at those shows if you're looking at them because, you know, I can't even talk to most of them because I don't look at them. The soap operas and all this kind of stuff. Anything that depicts life. Anything that says, you know, people live this way. When you are looking at it with your children, if you're going to look at it with them or allow them to see it, then you should be discussing it in relationship to the scriptures. How is this, you know, how is this couple, they're shacked up. What does the word of Yah say about that? That brother out there on the street selling drugs and doing this, what does it say about them being disrespectful to those people who are older than him and don't respect his mother? What does the word of God say about that? That's the way you should be relating to them. Because if not, that story will teach them something else. And we just look at them as stories. And some of us look at them as, you know, hey, I wish that was my life. A lot of our children look at those things and think that that is the way that life is. And if you don't teach them otherwise, and the otherwise that you should be teaching them is in accordance with the scripture. So you'd sit down and talk about it. It doesn't have to be a Bible program. You can teach them that, hey, as the world turns, this is all, these situations are wickedness, and this is why they're wickedness, and take it to the Bible. These things have to be reinforced, reinforced, reinforced. And, you know, will your children, will they rebel a little bit? Probably so. But if you train them up in the way that they should go, when they get older, they won't depart from it. You know, every person at some point or another wants to sort of show their own independence. They want to make their own decisions. You want to make sure that what you give them is the word of Yah, and that's what they're making their decision upon. Now, they may take some things, input from the world, and that probably will happen. And we just have to deal with it as it comes. But we want to make sure that we impart these values to them all day long. When you're sitting around the dinner table, when you're going to sleep, when you're waking up, they want to impart these values to them. They want you. You have to do it. If you're a grandparent, if you're a parent, They can't see otherwise. They can't see, you know, really we shouldn't be even be watching things that are that ungodly. And I've walked through some people's houses. They're watching porn. And they got children in the house, and they're watching porn. That, you know that they are way, way out there. But it goes to that extreme. And some people have no morals in that way. So there's certain soap operas, certain nighttime soap operas and things like that, that we probably shouldn't even be watching because those things have influence. They influence our spirit. They might give us ideals. And so what we, you know, in programming, we say garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you're feeding into your spirit, that is what will come out. That is what will be recorded. So we would much rather have the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High being what we're feeding in. We cannot be who the Most High wants us to be if we're trying to be like the world. We cannot raise children who are godly children, acceptable to the Most High, if we're trying to be like the world. And this has always been Israel's problem. Israel always wanted to be like the nations around it. And the Most High said, don't do it. But they always did it. Can we start to get this thing right? We have to start with the next generation, or else we're going to have the same thing over and over and over again. A lot of kids being born out of wedlock, a lot of divorce, a lot of broken families. We're coming, trying to come to the Most High and live, trying to live decent lives, but then we got all this guilt because we all these things that we did that we used to do. And if we try to tell somebody else what to do, what's right when we learn it, then we might be charged with being a hypocrite or we're not doing it totally, and they look at us and say, who are you to tell me? That's why it says we have to do this with our whole heart. Our whole heart, not a piece of us. It has to be who we are. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to talk about things that we should teach our children. Okay? He said to teach it to them. So here are some things that as a basic, so that they have an identity, so that they know who they are, so that they understand this is who you are. Because our identity didn't start at slavery. And our identity is going to conflict what the world says. But you have to put these values, these particular values. You don't have to take this as the gospel, but I believe according to the scripture, according to the word, these values we should be putting in our children from the beginning. Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting at verse 12. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim. That has to be number one. First thing you start teaching your child, fear Yah. First thing that we need to come back to is fearing Yah. Fear him. Everything else, if we learn to fear him, and we genuinely fear him because we know who he is. He tells us enough so that we know why we should fear him. If you study, or if you listen to me long enough, you're going to know why you should fear him. This has to be imparted to our children. He didn't say love me first. He didn't say keep my commandments first. The first thing he says is what? This is required of you. Fear Yah, thy Elohim. The scripture says the beginning of all wisdom is to fear Yah. He is consistent through this book. Somehow we've been taught, oh, the Most High is all merciful. He's all forgiving. He's all loving. And he says, no, I'm a terrible God too. And if you don't fear me, you're not going to see that love and that kindness and that mercy. You're going to see the terrible side of me. And we're not teaching people that. But from the very beginning, with our children, even with ourselves, we can't walk. That's why I say we have to also learn to fear him, because you can't teach your child or your grandchild to properly fear Yah if you don't. Trust me, they're going to see the contradiction if you don't, if you're not walking in this. So he says the first thing is to fear him. The second thing is to walk in his way. You got to learn his way to walk in his way. You can't walk in his way not studying, not being taught. You can't do what's right in your own eyes. Well, this seems right to me. And then later on find out, hey, you're in contradiction with the Most High Elohim, because it seemed right to you. So you have to learn his way and then teach his way to them. It is impossible to teach what you yourself do not know. You can give your understanding of it. You can give your opinion of it. But if you don't really know it, you can't teach it. Because teaching is not only to impart knowledge, but it's to impart why. Why is this way? And you have to know why. It will keep you. If I say, hey, don't go out the door, and I just told you don't go out the door, but I don't tell you why, you know, I always wonder, why shouldn't you go out that door? So to teach is to also teach why and how. Only way that you can teach them that is that you know it and that you practice it, that you live it. Or trust me, you will be inconsistent. Oh, I forgot about that. I remember reading that somewhere, but I ain't never really done it, so that's a problem. And so we ourselves have to put this on. That's why he says, again, repeating it, your whole heart. It has to be part of you. Can't impart this to the children, and it's not in us. So first, to fear him. Second, to walk in his way. Third, to love him. You have to learn to love the Most High. You're not going to automatically come out just loving him. It's like with any relationship. You don't meet somebody and first love them. You might be first in lust with them. In our ways, you might be first in lust with them, but you're not going to first love them. How are you going to first love them when you don't know anything about them? Why do you love me? I don't know. I just do. You don't really love that person yet. You got some feelings for them, but if you don't know why you love somebody, you don't really love them. And if you really love them, you know why you love them. And the Most High wants you to know why you love him. You have to have trusted in him. You have to have been in relationship with him. It has to be real for you. It can't be this ephemeral, made-up being that you hear about, but you don't really have a relationship with. How do you love someone or something that you don't really have a relationship with? That is robotic. That will not keep you. So we have to learn to love him. To learn to love him is to learn about him and his ways and how he does things and what he expects, what makes him happy, what makes him angry. It's to ask him to prove himself to you. Because he says, ask me and I will prove myself to you. You have to believe that he will, or she won't even ask. So in order to impart these values to the children, you have to be doing them. And to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. You cannot halfway do this thing. It doesn't work when you halfway do it. It doesn't work. You will always find yourself doing something you ought not do, saying something you ought not say, not doing something you're supposed to do, not being in his will because you're in your own. So all over this book, he says to fear me with your whole heart, with fear and trembling. You got to know why you need to fear him or you won't. You will have this picture that the world has painted of your Elohim, which is not true. It's a half, I don't even think it's a half of a picture of what the scriptures teach about the Most High Elohim, what he says of himself. You can't impart that fear to your children if you yourself don't have it. So you have to learn about him. And you have to learn why you fear him, why you need to fear him. And if you don't believe what is written, then you won't fear him anyway. If you believe that it's fiction or it's just a story or oh, he really wouldn't do that, oh, he's not going to do that. If you don't see correction in your life when you mess up, you're not going to fear him. You're not going to impart that to your children. So these are values that we as parents must have to impart to the children. Fear Yah, your Elohim, from the very beginning. Before you know how, before you know what he's about, before you know to love him, you need to know to fear him. When you filter everything in your life through that fear of the Most High, you will make different decisions, trust me. You will make different choices. Those things that will take you over the deep end, yeah, I really shouldn't be doing that. If you really fear him, you won't do it. Because the fear of him will stop you from doing it. Let's continue. So serve him with your all. Everything, your life, if we understand what our purpose is, if we understand why we are here, then that gives our life purpose. We don't have to be guessing, oh, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor, I want to be this. If we first understand that our first purpose is to the Most High, then we already have value. If we understand that we are the priesthood, then we understand that we have value. The problem is when we want to be in the world and we don't feel like we can walk this way, we don't want to step into the occupation that the Most High chose for us. You want to know why we don't own big businesses, why we don't have the media, why manufacturing, all that stuff? Because the Most High didn't select us for that. The Most High chose us to be his priesthood. We didn't want to step into that. We want to prosper. We got to step into the job he selected us for. But we want to be like the world. So we can't serve him with our whole heart and with all our soul. Why? Because we don't want to be what he selected us for. We don't want to pass that on to our children. Oh, you need to find out what's going to make you happy. Most times that I already chose you and gave you an occupation, and you don't want it. You want to try to pursue your happiness someplace else. And then you want me to bless it. This has been our problem from the very beginning. How do we raise up a nation of kings and priests? We're supposed to be kings and priests, and we want to be something else. I'm making you the head and not the tail, and you choosing the tail. Anything other than a king, you're the tail. Anything other than the priest, you're the tail. But we don't see that as a people. I have chosen you as my inheritance to be my priesthood. So you want to be a banker. You want to be the head of IT. You want to be this production manager. You want to be whatever, everything else but what the Most High chose us for. But how are you going to impart to your children the things that the Most High chose us for if you're trying to be everything else? So we have to get back on track in order to impart these values to our children. You cannot claim to be a Hebrew Israelite and want to be anything other than this. It's what you were chosen for. It's what the Most High chose you for. It's what he said he would bless us in. I want us to consider this. Because you have to impart this to your children. And if you are busy, worried about what I'm going to be doing, trying to make this money over here or get this degree over here or impress this person over here, how are your mind and your heart and your soul are not 100% the Most High? And I know this is strange because nobody ever even told me that. These are things that the Most High had to impart to me. Here's what's wrong with y'all. So we have to teach these things to our children. That they would grow up and want to do the work of the Most High. And not grow up and want to be in the world and of the world, doing the things that the world does and having the values of the world. Let's keep going. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Why are we in this bad shape? Because our forefathers didn't keep the commandments and the statutes. Hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss. So to the point that the priesthood was worshiping other Elohim in the temple of the Most High himself. Think about that. You in a relationship, you come home, and your spouse in the bed with somebody else. You catch them in the bed in your house. They're not married to them. With somebody else. What's going to be your reaction? How do you think the Most High reacts? That's why we find ourselves where we're at today. So we don't want our children to go down that path. We don't want the next generation to start off, you know, with the wrong understanding, to be trying to do something that they weren't called to do. The Most High, think about that. I have chosen you. Only you have I loved. Think of who's saying that to you. Only you have I loved, but you went a whoring after other gods. Our forefathers despised their birthright. I chose you to make a nation out of you, and I want a nation of kings and priests. I will make you the head and not the tail. We don't want to be a king. We always claim we're queens and kings, but we really aren't, and we don't want to be. He's telling us the path to our kingship, to our rulership. And we have rejected it time and time and time again. So if you have been awakened, as to who you are, and you can get past the identity that I'm a Hebrew Israelite, you can get past that and look at what our forefathers didn't do that we must do, then we will see change. We will see it. We will impart that into our children. You are a king and you are a priest, and this is your kingship, and this is your priest, and this is how you are supposed to operate within it. This is your job in the world. They don't have to be guessing what they're supposed to be. But we're not imparting these values. We read it, but we don't really comprehend it. We don't really take hold of it. So how can we pass that to our children to get them back on the right path? Then we have to embrace it now. You can't pass to your children that which you haven't embraced yourself. To keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command you this day, behold, you have to teach them. The heaven and the heaven of heavens is Yah, thy Elohim. He's over everything. Teach your child that from the beginning. You can't appeal before him. You can't appeal above him. The nations can't go above him. You serve the highest authority that there is. The earth also, with all that therein is. Everything on this planet reports to the Most High. And if it doesn't, it will. Because if it doesn't, it's out of order. So you have to look at those things and that are not of him and say, that's out of order. You have to know it and not try to associate yourself with it. Not let your children associate themselves with it. Only Yah had delight in thy fathers to love them. Our people, our children need to know this. You need to know this. Only Yah had delight in our fathers to love him, Abraham, or them. Only Yah, that's still true today. Still true today. We're so busy trying to be accepted by the nation, trying to win their acceptance. We're good enough. We have bought into we bought into the lie. And the only being really in this world that loves us as a people is the Most High. We gotta understand that. We're not supposed to be looking for the acceptance of the world. The world is supposed to be looking to us. But because we won't step into the role that the Most High has ordained us to, has called us to, we're trying to be accepted for them by what they want us for and all they want us for. We're not even going to go there today. That's a whole other part of spiritual wellness, understanding what the world really wants from us. They show it to us all the time, and we're trying to fit in. We're not trying to be what the Most High called us to be, and they don't want us to be what the Most High called us to be, because they really don't want to fall up under us. You're supposed to be a king, royalty. You're supposed to be teaching your children that they are royalty. Instead, we want to be everything but that. And then claim, oh, but we're kings and queens. See the contradiction in that? You see the fallacy in that? You see the confusion in that? We want to be kings like the world's kings are. But the world's kings will come and bow at our feet. This is what Israel has thrown away. This is what we as children were never taught. This is what we are not passing to our children. I chose you to be a nation of kings and priests. And Everybody's going to come and bow at Messiah's feet. And if we are kings and priests along with him, wherever nation he puts you over, us over, or what have you, they have to pay homage. But because we don't understand and won't accept who we are as a people, we can't even push this to our children. We push a lie to them. We tell them fabricated stuff for which we have no basis, and the stuff that we have basis for, we don't accept. So we as parents have to step into this. This is who you are. You are a king and a priest. And we have to step into that role, the role of a king and a priest. How are we going to pass that to our children if we don't believe it of ourselves? And that's why we don't teach them the statutes, laws, and commandments, because we don't want to obey them. We don't want to obey our own law. We'd rather live by the laws of the nature. So how are we going to teach our children the good and the proper way if we don't embrace who we are and what we were called to? You can't pass that to your children if you don't embrace it yourself. Maybe we just don't want to be that good. I don't know. But Yah is saying, only you have I loved. That's a big statement, especially coming from who it's coming from. But each time we choose to go and worship something else, someone else. So we have to pass this to our children. To the children, we have to start them off this way. You are a king and a priest. This is your job. You have to walk in these ways. You cannot do what the world is doing from childhood. We have to impart these values to them. But if we're out partying, getting drunk, getting high, chasing men, chasing women, doing everything other than what we are supposed to be doing, trying to be like the nation, then how do we impart this to our children? We can't. And then we say one thing, oh, yeah, you're a king and a priest. But they see you doing wickedness, that's confusion. And that means that you are corrupt and you will be raising a corrupt seed. We want to raise the children from the very beginning the right way, in the fear of Yah, to walk in his way, to love him, to serve him with their whole heart from the very beginning. Verse 15 again. Only Yah had a delight in thy father to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. We can't say as it is today because we're in trouble today. But at the time of that writing, that statement was true. And we have to be, as a people, willing to step back into this. So the only way we get back into this is to start teaching it to the children that are children now. But we have to also embrace it. And then if we didn't teach our children, as they have children, we have to still drop these nuggets on them. This is the way you should train up this child. This is their job. If you bring them over here, this is what I'm going to be teaching. So that they know. Trust me, in their heart of hearts. They might even be vocally against you at first, but in their heart of hearts, they won't fight you long. So we know currently today our children are in trouble. These things are not being taught to them. They're being taught, find what makes you happy. That is outside the will of the Most High. And because we don't fear him, we don't force it. Oh, yeah, go and find what makes you happy. Instead of, no, you're a king and a priest. This is what you have been born into. You don't have to make a guess about what you're supposed to be. Here it is. Step into it. You're going to be trained up in this way. Can we see how far off we are? Can we see how much work needs to be done? We don't have to guess what to do. We've been told what to do. All we have to do is do it. So teach them. Make them understand. The world will say one thing, but the one that loves you is the Most High Elohim. And this is who you need to be dedicated to. Don't look at that world system that says, oh, if you make $1 million and you have the size house and you have, you know, whatever, what the world says, don't be tempted by that stuff because that really is Hashatan or Satan. He's going to get you off of the job that the Most High wants you to do. You have to drum this into them. But you also have to be living. We like the king part. We like the royalty part. I think it's the priest part we got a problem with. Because we want to do wickedness. We want to be like the world. We have to embrace who we are as a people. Period. That's the only way we're going to impart this to our children. Let's continue to read. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Don't teach your child because you're disobedient, because you're stiff-necked, because you won't embrace your job. You won't embrace what the Most High has ordained you to. If you teach your child that they should pursue their own happiness in the world, then you are still being stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And you should not say that you're a Hebrew Israelite. Just say you're a Hebrew. Because to be an Israelite is to be part of a nation, part of a kingdom. And if you won't follow the statutes, laws, and commandments of the kingdom, and if you won't do the job ordained to you in the kingdom, then you shouldn't be a part of the kingdom. And you shouldn't even claim to be a part of the kingdom. And don't raise your child to be a part of the kingdom because it's going to be contradictory. For Yahweh Elohim is Elohim of Elohim and master of masters, a great Elohim, a mighty and a terrible, and which regardeth not person, nor taketh reward. You can't bribe the Most High. He's not a respecter of you because you're a Hebrew. He's not a respecter of you because you're a Hebrew Israelite. If you're going to do wickedness, he has no respect of you. If you're not going to take up the job that he told you, that he ordained you to, he has no respect of you. Because I chose you for this. This is what I want for you. If you want something different and I'm supposed to respect it, you're supposed to serve me with fear and trembling and you want to do something else? See, when we didn't know better, this is what we have done. We can't teach the children that. We have to teach the children, this is your calling in life. And you want to be a rapper? Rap for Yah. But you're still going to work in this priesthood. You're still going to serve the Most High. You're still going to walk in his way. We have to impart this to the children. He does execute judgment of the father and the widow and loves the stranger and giving him food and rain. The Most High, this is who the Most High really loves. This is who he cares about, the father, the widowless, and the homeless, those that are less fortunate, those that are going through, especially amongst our own people. And we don't even take care of them. Most of us have parents. You know, I love to hear when a brother or a sister says, you know what, I got my mother and my father living with me. And they're taking care of them in their old age. Because most of us, we go off in life and we're somewhere else and our parents die. Or if we're in the city, we're not doing for them what we should be doing for them. We don't honor them in that way. Our father dies and our mother's left alone. And we don't take care of them like we're supposed to. We don't take care of. We got a lot of fatherless children that other nations are, other, when I'm saying other nations, I'm saying other peoples are adopting. And we don't even adopt our own. So we are way out of whack. We are way off center. We are way outside of the will and the word of the Most High. And all of it's coming back from the very first thing he told us. Lack of fear of him. So you see why we have to come back to this in order so that we can impart it to the children? Can't impart to them what we ourselves don't have within us. Fear him. Learn to love him. Serve him with all your heart and all your soul, with all your substance. We're so busy trying to get up in the world ourselves that, for the most part, we don't tithe. We don't try to do anything for the kingdom. And if we do, then that's what we're doing. But most of us aren't even doing that. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The Most High took us through some things that we might learn as a people. Our slavery was meant to teach us something. It was meant to punish and discipline us. But also to, you know what? It was also meant to corrupt us if we stayed in the same state of mind, if we didn't learn the lesson. Come out of slavery, our men sleeping around, not honoring the women, treating them like whores, making babies and not staying, not taking responsibility. And the women as well, having baby by multiple men, having sex before they're married, both men and women. We come out of slavery with these spirits on us. And then so how do we expect to, what do you think we're going to be passing to the children? What value? They are not the values of the Most High. That's for sure. Verse 20. Thou shalt fear Yah, thy Elohim. Again, here comes this, you shall fear him. Thou shalt fear Yah, thy Elohim. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. And swear by his name. If you fear Yah, you're not going to swear by his name just arbitrarily. You're not going to take an oath and say, oh, as the Most High liveth, yada, yada, yada. And then if it's an oath and you don't keep it and don't fear what's going to happen, you got to teach it to the children. Call on his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim that has done for thee these great and terrible things which you have seen with thine eyes. The Most High is going to do great and terrible things for us. He did it for our forefathers. When he's coming back, we are in the right place. Those of us who are in the right place are going to do great and terrible things for us as well. He will not forsake us. And so we got to understand that we have to get in the right place, and we have to teach the next generation. We cannot assume, you know, most of us are praying that the Most High comes back in our lifetime. That's even my prayer, and he says it's not even a day that we should pray for. But we're praying that, you know, he comes and he delivers us out of this captivity. But if he doesn't, we still are responsible for the children. And we cannot forsake them. We cannot just leave them to the whims of the world or to their own whim. We can't do that. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70. And now Yahweh Elohim has made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. And we are the stars of heaven for multitude. But we are not walking in his ways. We are not keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments. We are not passing, we're not accepting the job that he gave us, and we are passing corrupt instruction or lack thereof to our offspring. We are not holding one another accountable. So we have to do these things. Give me a hot second. I need to close my door. Let me play this song. I'll be right back.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love, it is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, 'cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Praise to our Elohim.
things that the Most High says are required of Israel to teach them, to teach our children. We have to impart this to them. Let us go talk about disciplining our children. Disciplining our children. Again, as I said, this is an overview. Doesn't cover every situation. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12. For whom Yah loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If the Most High does that with us, then we ought to also do that. If we love our children, chastise them, chasten them when they are doing something wrong, when they're not displaying acceptable behavior, when they're choosing to go down a different path. The Most High will chasten us. And a lot of us should be chastised. We don't accept what the Most High has called us into. Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 4. As I said, I put the responsibility on the father, the men. And our men are out of order. Just a fact. Is this an absolute? No, of course not. But overall, yes, we are out of order. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and the admonition of Yah. This responsibility to the fathers. The mother is the supporting character in this. We have gotten it backwards because we got most of our mothers in charge of single households. And then if it's not a single household, a lot of times the woman will try to usurp authority over the man, probably because he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. But even sometimes if he is, he can be beat down because of the way that this society looks at me. But, I cannot lie. We are in need of a lot of help. Our men. We are not where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be at the head. We're supposed to be in charge of the discipline. We're supposed to be in charge of imparting this knowledge to our family. And if we are not in place, what do we think is going to happen? If we got children all over the place and crazy. Got children all over the place. The women don't agree. They got different babies, mamas, all this kind of confusion stuff that we got going on. What do we think we're imparting to the children? Papa was a Rolling Stone? Completely out of order. So, yeah, we're going to have to deal with the men. And that time is coming. Because we are ultimately responsible. And we should not be provoking our children to anger. But we should be raising, we should be nurturing them. That means that to nurture somebody, that means to be involved in their situation, in their life, teaching them the hows and the whys of things. Why is this way in the scripture? And how do I deal with this in life? And what should I look for in a mate? To be there. Should be teaching them the fear and the admonition of God. See, there's something that the Most High put in the man. that he didn't put into the woman. And the woman has done the best she can with the cards that have been dealt to her. But even with children, for a natural father, there's something about his voice that when his children are young, he says something, they listen. And maybe because he's not there all day or whatever the case may be. But he's supposed to be the one that enforces, sets the rules and enforces. The wife should support, be a help meet the standards that your husband is setting, especially if he's setting them in accordance with the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And I know we are way out of order, but this is the order. We don't have to guess what to do. We just have to step into it and start doing in accordance with the scripture. Again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, we got a lot of our fathers out there because we got broken homes. Or we go into blended families because we are just broken. We got this sister that already has children. We marry into that situation, and now we got children that don't want to accept us as their father. The wife won't enforce, oh, you need to listen to this man. Situation get heated. You know, you're not their father. What? Or you're not my daddy. What? Completely out of order. But then he cannot come into the situation and not accept them. If he's going to take on, if you're going to, as a man, going to step into that situation and marry into it, then you have to accept full responsibility. And so a lot of times we need to come for counseling for that because, well, it's not my child. She won't let me discipline them. They don't respect me. But a lot of times we're coming into those situations not establishing those things up front. Totally another different precept. Okay, so we'll deal with these areas because we need to deal with them because they are problems within our relationship. So they need to be dealt with. And they will be, that we might heal. Proverbs chapter 22. The book of Proverbs chapter 22. This is something that we as parents have to know. Because the world will tell you to be your child's friend. You can't be your child's friend until they're old enough to understand what that is. They will not respect you. They might tell their friend a dirty joke. You want your child telling you a dirty joke? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's what they know. They don't know what really truly is right and wrong. They have to learn it. So you're going to find foolishness in the heart of a child. Because they're curious. They're trying to learn. And if you're not setting the standards, and if you're not enforcing them, that child is going to do what that child thinks is right. And you know they have no basis to know anything of what is right and wrong, only what you've taught them. Foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There are times when you need to use a rod, but the rod ain't always a switch or a belt. It can be some type of loss of privilege. It can be some other type of motivation. And when those measures don't work, then yeah, the Most High says pull out the rod. If those ears won't hear, open up their other ears, the ones they sit on. to drive that out of them. But don't be sitting there trying to kill them. This should be what you're doing is with the understanding that you are disciplining them. You are doing this as a correction. And if this one is particularly stiff-necked and hard-headed, you might have to pull out the rod. And don't worry about what the world says. Because the world will have your child where they got it. Well, why got to come get you out of jail because you were acting foolish in school because you didn't discipline them at home? And now the world's going to discipline them for you. And they want it so. And you got to understand that's what they want. The world already has, or the United States, let me just talk about that, already knows by the third grade how many jail cells they need. And they manipulate your child's education if they show a problem. If you're not there to actually take care of that problem, make sure that the system is doing what it's supposed to do by your child, the system will take care of your child for you. And they may go all the way through to 12th grade. 12th grade can't read and get passed. So you have to be involved with that all the way around. Ultimately, the discipline we apply as parents should be used in a way that restores our child's relationship with us and others and with the Most High. Should make them think that, they're so bad that they are not redeemable. Because you know how we can get, we go off the deep end. You ain't fertilizer, and you ain't going to never be fertilizer. You know what word we can put in that place. We don't want to use those kind of words with our kids. We want to nurture them. We want to, when the discipline comes, you're being disciplined because of this. This is the expected behavior, and this is what you've been doing. And even why they're being disciplined and what it's meant to correct and what is acceptable behavior. Not you ain't going to be. So it should be followed by loving instruction. There should be no doubt in your child's mind that you love them, but this behavior is not acceptable. That's discipline. Now, if they are so hard-headed that you need to punish them, then that might be harsh. And the Most High, when we get that way, he is harsh with us. And you may have a child that you have to be harsh with. But don't do it to the point that you damage them, that they can't recover. You break an arm or a leg or do some crazy nonsense. So you have to be controlled as well. We should never discipline or punish a child when we are in our feelings. Because you don't know what might come out of your feelings. You're super angry at that time, and all you see is red. And when you turn around and look, your child on the floor hurt. Because you did it out of your anger, out of your feelings. Sometimes you got to, go to your room. I need to cool off. Let me think about the situation. How am I going to handle this? When we do stuff in the moment, when it comes to this type of discipline, then we can get out of control. So sometimes we have to learn to step back. And then how do I do this in a loving way? Yes, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts them, maybe. But I need to learn how to do this in a loving way that still allows us to have a relationship, them understanding that I love them, but the behavior is not acceptable. If you don't discipline them, then you might have a toddler that likes to talk back. And you think it's cute at two or three, what they're saying. But if you let that behavior continue until they're a teenager, now you got this teenager that talks back to you. And it's out of control. So everything has to be metered and appropriate, age appropriate, and offense appropriate. You know, you don't go get a switch because your child did something that's not worthy of a switch. Has to be metered. It has to be appropriate for the situation. You know, some of us, that's the way we were raised. Get out of order, go get a switch off that tree for everything. That doesn't work either. You have to learn what motivates your child. My oldest daughter used to be she couldn't stand to be in the room by herself. She had to be, you know, around us because all she knew. So a punishment was go to your room. And she would kick and scream and didn't want to be in that room by herself. And then there came an age where she wanted to be in the room by herself, and that was no longer going to work. Then it was, no, sit right here up under. So we have to look at different things. We have to look at our children. Each child is different. We are coming up on the time. Not quite finished, so we will pick this up next week. We're still going to be in the disciplining of our children, the benefits of it. Long term, according to the scripture, according to the Bible. Are there any questions today over anything that we went over? If you have a question, press the number one. If you have anything to add to this, press the number one. As I said, this is not to be one-sided. I'm just showing you what the Father has shown me concerning our children, concerning us as a people, and what we must do to get well. But it's not meant to be a one-sided conversation. All right. If there are no comments, no questions, let us bow our heads. Father, yeah, we thank you for your word today. Father, we know that we as a people, that we are in trouble. And Father, we need your help. We need your help to be delivered from these generational curses. That your men and your women, that we might walk upright before you, Father. In truth and in spirit, that we might serve you with our whole hearts, understanding who we are as a people and embracing what you have ordained us to be, Father. Father, you know the hearts of each and every one of us. Search us out. If there be anything that will hinder our service to you, Father, remove it even now. Give us a heart to serve you. Come into us and circumcise our hearts for us. Remove anything that would make us stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Remove anything that will cause us to doubt. Remove anything that will make us feel that we are unworthy. We are your children, Father, and we will do all that you have said we will do. We want to be redeemed. We want to present you a generation that is without spot. Father, help us. Guide us. for we need you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. We won't meet again until Tuesday for our normal Tuesday Bible study. I pray that Yah keep each and every one of you safe from harm, that he encamps his angels around you, and that they keep you safe from harm, seen and unseen. I pray that you get into your Bible, that you start to learn the ways of the Most High, and that you eat it and make it a part of you, that you might impart this knowledge to the next generation. We want to give them truth. We want to give them a solid foundation. We want them to embrace. We want them to embrace their job. We want to walk before the Most High in the calling that he has called us to. With that being said,
Brother Miles?
Yes, ma'am.
You have a hand raised, I think.
Okay, hold on. Shalom, Brother Gary.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, just want to say I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you, love you.
All right, amen, my brother. Amen. Love you back.
Great.
Hope you had a blessed Saturday.
Shalom.
I said that. Shalom, Sister Mary.
I just wanted to let you know, brother, that what you were saying, I've been saying all the time. And, yeah, the parents need to step up and the grandparents. Because they can't blame it all on the teachers at the school.
Amen. It has to start at home.
It comes from the home. Come from the home.
Amen. Well, we're going to keep in, and I pray that people keep coming and that we are able to step into this. This is what we are on. Yah wants us to heal. He wants us to heal. And so we want we want to do this. But we have to do it with our whole heart, and we have to buy into it.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, my sister, for those comments. Thank you, Brother Gary. On Tuesday, I don't know what the precept will be, but I'll try to put it out there early enough that you have time to look over it or to, consider it. I am on call this week, so it's just constantly going. Nevertheless, this comes first. And so I pray that everybody is here on Tuesday and that we are ready to eat from the word of Yah at that point. And remember, I love you, but Yah loves you way more. Shalom.
Against gotta move, step up, put on camouflage. We gotta be wise, open your eyes to the most high in the sky. We must stop arguing, it's irrelevant. We must live in the Torah, it's heaven sent. He will put it in your heart, fulfilling the word of the new covenant. Don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, cause nobody's perfect. We're called by his name, we're called by his name, seek him to be worthy. We should be coming together, there's power and unity. It's time to come into the order, cause we are a living prophecy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against